My name's Sister Patricia McNicholas. I'm a senior development officer at Beatitude House, and I'm here with Robin Finger.
Hi, I'm Robin Finger, and I'm a graduate from the Beatitude House program.
And a student at YSU,
right, Robin? A student at YSU, yes.
And can you tell us, tell me a little bit, remind me how we met, Robin?
We met when I had gotten a ride from the Children Family Service worker from Cleveland, Ohio, looking for a home for me and my children. And she drove me herself personally and my children up here so that I may interview for the Beatitude House.
And do you want to tell us a little bit about what it meant for you to get accepted in Beatitude House?
Well, you know, I'm not one who was offered many opportunities because of my unsavory past. So it meant the world to me to be accepted and given an opportunity. And there was no questions asked concerning my past. All that was of concern was where I was to start from and how I can begin my life and start over with my children. And I was accepted.
And so what year was that, Robin?
2009.
So 2009, you started your life over.
I started over.
And what have you accomplished in those last five?
5 years? Well, with the help of Beatitude House, I was able to get back into school, YSU. That's one of my most precious accomplishments. I am now a senior at YSU. I'm going for my bachelor's in social work, and I'm aspiring to graduate summa cum laude. I've established permanent housing. I've reunited with all of my children. Beatitude House was a big part of that, and they helped my family excel and grow. And they made me feel more confident in myself and my abilities. And they were my first to overlook the things of my past and my bad decisions.
Yes, so you mentioned that you hope to graduate with summa cum laude. And what's your grade point average at the moment?
It's 3.88.
Oh, Robin, you are on your way.
Yes.
What an accomplishment. Can you tell me a little bit? You mentioned your children. Can you tell me a little bit about each of them?
Well, okay. I have two sons who are now age 24 and 22. When we came here, they were age 19 and 16. And my twin daughters, who are now age 15, and when we came here, they were 10. Now they've made a lot of progress. I have a son. His name is Nicholas Collins. He graduated from Ursuline High. And that was thanks to Sister Betty, who sponsored him. And she allowed him to attend Ursuline High School. And he graduated, and I was very proud of that. And my daughters there are now attending Boardman High School. They came from the Youngstown City School District. They weren't doing well there, but with the support of Beatitude House, I was able to get them into Boardman and get them the help that they need. And also, their GPA has increased, and they're getting A's and B's now, and they're more focused on their studies. My eldest son, who was too old to come to me at the Beatitude House, he was 19 years old when he arrived here. When he arrived here, he was given resources through the Beatitude House that also helped him to become self-sufficient. He graduated and got his GED, and he's working now. He has gainful employment. He has moved on to PA, and right now that he has his sisters for the summer.
So all of the children are doing well.
Yes.
And that's the difference. I've often believed that Beatitude House actually has a bigger impact on the next generation than yes. on the mother who we state as our primary client.
Yes.
So we take mothers with children who are homeless, and I think it's often true the bigger impact will be on the children. Their future will be different because of the choices you made at Beatitude House and the work you did
yes.
at Beatitude House. I wanted to ask you about your work study at YSU.
Okay. Well, I'm a note taker and I'm a tutor. I take notes for disability services. I sit in the class and I actually take down notes for the students who are not able to take notes. And I also tutor students over at the Center for Student Progress in a various range of subjects. My specialty is the social works subjects and courses. However, I'm also teaching general studies, of the general requirements needed.
Yeah, I think I recall you saying you liked doing the note-taking because it gave you the opportunity to take classes.
Yes, I'm able to sit in on classes that I hadn't been exposed to, and I was able to complete some of my electives due to the fact that I was able to sit in on these classes and get a chance to experience firsthand what they were like. So I was able to take those classes as well as for my electives.
Well, I just want to tell you how much I admire you for your life and the decisions you've made and the hard work that you've put into it. And it's not on the success, it's on the commitment you've made to your family and to what you're doing. Do you want to tell us anything about your childhood?
Well, I was raised with my grandparents. My mother died of an aneurysm when I was 13 months. And my grandparents got me. I was originally born in Chicago. And I was brought here to Ohio when I was 13 months after the passing of my mom. I think that my grandparents, they loved me. I didn't understand the love at the time when I was a child. But as I grew, you know, older, I started to understand the ways that they loved me. I was never kissed. I was never hugged as a child. I was shown love through monetary means. And I was never told I love you. But I understand their expressions of love is different, and it differentiates through generations. I was isolated. I was left to discern many things on my own. My grandmother, she kind of trained me up the best that she could up until I got into the eighth grade, and then it exceeded her educational level. So from that point on, it was what the schools would teach me. And I think what she taught me then, at that time, that's when she started showing me how to do domestic things, as cooking and cleaning and taking care of the house. So during that time, I think that's what most people in my culture aspired to be. I was a good housekeeper. And that was like the decision then, that you were trained to keep house. You know, when I was in school, we had home economics, and I excelled in that because I was already a cook. Scholarships were rarely gave in our neighborhoods, you know, and if they were given, they were from scouts for athletic purposes. It was never anything for academics.
So did you have any dreams of college when you were in high school?
During that time, no. When I was in high school,
that world didn't create that dream
no.
for you.
No. I didn't think. The only thing that I thought of was survival at that time and how to survive and how to get by. We didn't have room to aspire to be much else at the time.
So that's what strikes me in that story of your grandparents loving you as best they knew how, but maybe not quite what somebody's hopes would be, is how you've taken that value and said, but I'll do it differently.
Yes.
So you were just telling me the kind of advice you give your girls.
Well, you know, the advice that I give to my girls is I try to keep them focused. I let them know that they're loved, that they don't have to look for love from anywhere else. I constantly praise them for their accomplishments. If they have any failures or shortcomings, I help them overcome them. I try to give them a better direction. I give them plenty of kisses and plenty of hugs, and I tell them I love them all the time. And this is all my children. And I tell them, you know, that I want to be an example of what they would aspire to be. And I want them to know not to give up, and anything is possible. And if I can do it, they can do it even better.
And you told me you'd tell the girls not to get topsy-turvy.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Not to get too ahead of themselves. I don't want them to have to feel that they have to look to others to define themselves, that they have to fit in, that they have to do what everyone else is doing. I would like for them to be original and keep a focus point. You know, sometimes it's a little hard for them. They were diagnosed with ADHD, so sometimes it get a little hard for them, but I try my best to get them back on track and keep them on focus. So that's what I meant by topsy-turvy. They just, they're on one thing and then they're to the next.
You told me once that I was the first person who ever told you that you could do it. Is that, what your memory is?
You told me that you trust me.
And?
I've never been trusted with anything, and that confidence is what makes me try so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was never trusted with anything in the past. You know, in many ways, I don't blame people, you know. But for someone to come along and give me an opportunity and accept me, even though they didn't care about my past, and then to trust me, that's a lot. That meant a lot to me. And from then on, I vowed that I wouldn't let you down, Sister Patricia. And I mean that. You being proud of me, I never had no one say they were proud of me. And it means a lot, and that's what keeps me going.
And my being proud of you, Robin, is about who you are. It's not what you accomplish. I'm very impressed with all your accomplishments and those excellent grades and all that. But my trust in you and my admiration is for you as a person. So thank you for sharing that. Let's talk a little bit about your dreams for the future.
I think I have simple dreams. I dream of being accepted, firstly. I dream of being forgiven for my past mistakes. I dream of a simple house and a career.
And what would you like that career to be?
I would like to help others. In the social work field, I like to be part of the reentry program design, to redesign the reentry program to make it successful, to speak in advocacy for those who try hard for them to understand that a debt to society is not paid when you do your time. That's just the punishment. You don't get the opportunity to pay it back until you're out here in society. And this is the only reason why it seems society is so unforgiving. Because you still owe a debt. And the way to do it is to pay it forward and try to help others and become productive.
So what would your reentry program be like?
Well, my reentry program would start at a takeoff stage. I feel instead of reiterating what was already given to them in the penal system, which is already paid for, you know, after behavior modification, education, addressing, you know, certain issues as far as substance abuse and things of the likes, I feel it should be a next stage in the aftercare process and helping them to succeed further, showing them how to be resourceful, giving them the basic understanding and conditioning them to know that this hard work, and unlike anyone else, you do have to prove yourself, because you have to prove that you're worthy of a second chance. So I would like for them to define, when they come out, what is the debt that you pay to society?
And then help them find the means to do that, whether it's employment or education.
Yes.
And stable family life and a productive member of society.
Yes.
That's a wonderful, wonderful dream, and as you know, clearly needed, that how hard it is when somebody leaves the prison system.
Yes.
To make it.
They give up because of the stigma, you know. It's a negative stigma. It's a newly ascribed status, and this is what they'll be known by.
That's true, I think, but I think it's also we often don't provide any opportunities, so then people go back to the world they knew, and it's very hard then.
But with patience, and I feel determination and tenacity, it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just something that you'll have to constantly do, is to prove yourself.
Well, and that's why a support program like you're trying to describe would provide the surrounding support. I think what I hear you saying is that all, in the end, it depends on the individual.
Yes.
But unless we surround them with the supports, none of us go through life alone.
I know. You know, I wouldn't have made it without Beatitude House. So.
And none of us make it. There aren't the idea sometimes in American culture that you can do it by yourself, I believe, is just a myth. We all need a support system, whether it's family of origin or a new family or colleagues or friends, church. We don't make it alone. We make it in a community. And I think when we provided you a home at Beatitude House, that's what we always try to do, is say it's not about that physical space.
Right.
It's about
structure
and a support system and people believing in you and then giving you the help. Yeah, and you won those scholarships on your own.
Yes.
But you wouldn't have known about them if it weren't for somebody who donated that money to YSU for Beatitude
Yes.
House resident. So it was that whole past contributed
Yes.
to that scholarship being there.
Yes.
That somebody did that. Yeah, I believe the same. I live at Beatitude House still with about 25 children at the moment and 12 mothers, and it's always a good experience for me too to just be there in the evening, and sometimes you don't have much interaction and other times you have a lot, but you support families the way we tried to support you, and we see this success.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been nice being with you.
It's nice to be with you, Sister Patricia.
Thank you.